A few weeks back, my wife Susan and I left after church. I said, let's go for a Starbucks coffee. We both got in our cars because we'd come separately that morning. She drove to Starbucks, and so did I. But I went to the Starbucks over the road from Conard High School near Trader Joe's, and she went to the Starbucks in Southington near our home. And we were both waiting for each other. After a somewhat tense text exchange, we both saw the funny side of it. Basically, we just hadn't communicated. Now, this is a relatively light-hearted example, but communication is central to any relationship. A relationship can't develop and deepen without communication. And not just short bursts of communication, but deep, lasting communication. For there to be intimacy between two people, there has to be communication. And communication isn't just about talking. I'm sure you've been in conversations where people have done all the talking, and you realize we're just not getting anywhere. We're not communicating. For communication to work, both parties have also to be listening. Listening is a key part of communication. Now, without communication, relationships break down, marriages break down, family bonds break down. Without communication, communities crumble, countries become divided, and wars between nations can break out. Communication is essential to every aspect of our lives, especially now we're all living in quarantine, adjusting to being around each other at home all the time, under each other's feet. Good communication is essential. And the same is true in our relationship with God. For there to be deep relationship between us and God, we have to communicate. In fact, the most important communication we can ever have is that with God. And the remarkable, awesome, unfathomable thing is that the Most High God wants to communicate with us. And not only that, but he wants to communicate with us personally and individually. Now, through Jesus, God has made a way for us to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. And we can talk to the creator of the universe, to the God who loves us with every bit of his being. And God wants to know what goes on in our life. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to tell him all about what's going on in our lives, just like a loving parent or spouse or friend who wants to know all about what's going on, our wins, our losses, our victories, our struggles, our dreams, our desires. God wants so much us to talk to him, but he also wants to talk to us, for us to listen to him. Indeed, you know, when I reflect, there are a lot of problems that could have been avoided if we'd listened to God, if we'd followed through on what he said. In fact, I would venture to say that most of us today, if you think about your greatest regret, if you look back and think, why did I do that? Why did I say yes? Why did I buy that? You think back on your greatest regret, and chances are, if you'd been listening to God and had the courage to follow through, then you could have avoided your greatest tragedy. You could have avoided that broken heart. You could have avoided that major pitfall. I know looking back in my life, this is the case for me. But there's a tendency in all of us just to ignore God, or at least just to go to him when we're not preoccupied with other things, squeezing God into the tiny little gaps in our hectic lives. And just as when we ignore any relationship with anyone and keep putting them off or only giving them little bits of attention, over time the relationship begins to fray at the edges and then the foundations start to crumble. And the same is true with our relationship with God. And before we know it, we're living with God at the periphery. So how then do we make communication with God a priority? How do we practically engage in communication with God? Well, being analytical by nature, what I wanted to do was just walk us through some steps we can take. And one qualifier, though, is that God can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And so what I'm going to say is really just one approach. You don't have to do it this way. But what I want to do is give a strategy. For some of us, this might be the first context that you use to open a conversation with God. For others, it might be that your current conversation with God has gone a little dry. Things need changing up a little bit. And for others of us, it might be that you're already doing something like this already. Well, with this disclaimer in hand, the first thing we should do is divert. Choose a place and a time to divert daily from your activities and spend time with God. This is actually something we touched on earlier in the series. And it's so important because some environments are better than others for conversation. I know that if I've got something important to talk to Susan about, doing it as we walk around Target or Stop and Shop is not the place, especially now we have to stand 6 feet away from each other. Nor is it while I'm cooking the dinner in the evening with all my pots and pans on the go. These are just not good times for a deep conversation. Deep and meaningful conversations are much better had over a coffee or on a walk. And the same is true in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Throughout Scripture, we see that Jesus would divert from the busyness of life to talk and to listen with his Father. Let's look at Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Even Jesus knew that with the disciples around him and with the general hubbub of life, to be able to have a valuable, deep, and intimate conversation with God the Father is just not possible. He had to pull away and find a different environment, one that was more conducive to deep, personal communication. He was healing people. He was preaching good news that captivated the people around him. And everywhere he went, there was a crowd. Yet Jesus would make a pattern of diverting from the crowds to be alone, in a solitary place where he could focus on his relationship with the Father. And the same is true for you and me. We listen better in certain places. We can focus better in certain places. So we need to find that place. It might be a room in your home where you can be quiet and undisturbed. It might be somewhere outside the home where you can focus. But we also need to find the right time of day to do it. Just as picking a place is important, so is choosing the time. There are times of day that are more conducive to focus and listening than others. And again, if I've got something important to talk to Susan about, doing it in the evening is not a good idea. We're both tired and just want to chill out and relax. We're much better earlier in the day. And the same is true when it comes to choosing a time to listen and talk to God. It might be first thing in the morning, might be during lunchtime, might be in the evening. Each of us is different. I'd however put in a strong push for first thing in the day. I know that I personally benefit from this. It helps me really frame my whole day. I spend time with God before I even open my email or do anything else. That way I can be focused on God and not constantly thinking about the list of issues that have arisen overnight that need my attention. So do you need this week to focus on diverting daily, finding that time and place? Now, once we've done that, the second thing we need to do is to read. Take time to read the Bible. God has given us an incredible tool in the Bible. And God will speak to us through his word. He'll speak to specific issues in our lives. He'll speak to guide and protect us. And we can get an insight into how God speaks through the Bible by looking at what David says about it in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, about how God spoke to him through the word. Now, interestingly, at the time that David was writing, he only had about 5 or 6 books in the Bible available to him. He had Genesis and Exodus, which are interesting and narrative. You've got the creation, fall, flood, Red Sea, Moses, and all that. Then he had Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, focused on the law, which is very dry and turgid somewhat. And then maybe he had Joshua and Judges. But of all these, actually, David loved most Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He loved the law. He talks about the law not in terms of do's and don'ts. He talks about God's law with such a heart and in such relational terms. Let's pick up Psalm 119 in verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." Now, David was the king. So you can imagine that he was a very busy man and also a very important man. And yet he says he meditates on the law all day long. He takes time to read and to hear God. And as he does so, he says that the word makes him wiser than his enemies, gives him more insight than his teachers, and he has more understanding than the elders. So reading God's word gives him wisdom, insight, and understanding. And David is saying, because I've read your word over and over again, and because I've meditated on it, you've communicated to me. You've communicated me wisdom, insight, and understanding. And these form the backbone of all my decisions. In other words, David could make good decisions and know those decisions are in God's will because God had given him the foundation on which to stand. And the same is true for us. Reading the Bible gives us wisdom, insight, and understanding. The more we read it, the more that God can speak into our lives. And when it comes to a time of decision making, we'll know what lies within God's plan for us. God wants to teach us wisdom, insight, and understanding so that we make good decisions in our walks of life. And we're all going to hit the road. We're all going to reach those forks where we can take one path or another in all areas of our life. We're going to be tempted. And when we're at the point of making a right decision or a wrong decision, David is saying, by listening to God through his word, we can have the wisdom, insight, and understanding to make the right choice and not to be tempted to make the wrong choice. This is so much better than learning after the fact, making the decision, falling into temptation, and then having to deal with the consequences. Because isn't it true that many of us could have avoided our biggest regrets, our biggest disasters, be that financially, relationally, whatever it is, we could have avoided them if we'd had the wisdom, insight, and understanding that God gives us. God wants us to see as he sees and know him just as deeply as he knows us. And he wants the opportunity to show us his character so that we can trust him and so that we can align our attitudes and thinking to his way of for our life. So how do we do that from a practical standpoint? Well, you know, you can break down your reading into bite-sized chunks that fit the time that you set aside each day. And for me, you know, reading through a whole book of the Bible over the period of some days is better than jumping from one passage to another to another. You know, it's like if someone writes you a letter, you tend to read it from start to finish, or you're reading an article in a newspaper or magazine or on a website. You don't sort of read a bit, then read something else, and then go back to it. If you're jumping around, you don't get the full picture of what the author is trying to say. And the same is true with books of the Bible. Reading them through from beginning to end helps you understand more deeply what God is communicating to you. Now, when you read your passage for the day, one way to discern what God is telling you is to put it through a grid of a few questions. Firstly, you know, what does this say? What does this portion of Scripture actually say? What do these words mean? Are there terms or turns of phrase that I need to think about what they mean? And then once you've done that, you know, you might ask, why is it here? And that's a hard question. Sometimes I know personally I find this challenging and have to just leave it blank. You know, asking, you know, why is it here in the Bible? Why is it important? And I have to wrestle with the question, you know, why did God include this? And even at times, you know, Now I have to think, you know, I wish God hadn't included this. And as you start to think about this question, God will use it to surface principles that you otherwise would not have thought about. And then third, you know, what should I actually do about it? How should I apply this? Is it a relationship thing? Is it a work thing, a behavior thing, an obedience thing? What's it telling me to do? And then finally, how can I remember it? It might be something you need to memorize, perhaps something you could put on a note card and have by your desk or by your bed. Or it might be something that you need to ask someone to hold you accountable over. So ask yourself the question, you know, how can I remember this? You know, you don't want to have your conversation with God and then just move on and forget what God told you. Just go on with your day and all the distractions that it brings and forget what you learned. So as we read the Bible, we ask ourselves, you know, what does it say? Why is it here? What should I do? And how do I remember it? And as we do, God will grow us in wisdom, insight, and understanding. So having been in your place and time and reading the Bible, the next step to communicating with God is to dialogue. And that's just to pray. Prayer is simply a time where we can talk and listen to God, where we seek God's guidance, input, support, comfort, and encouragement, where we allow God to challenge us and to align us to His way and to His will for our life, where we openly submit to His authority. And Jesus modeled this. As it says in Hebrews 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus prayed and aligned his ways to the ways of the Father, even going to the cross on our behalf. So we could start by praying through the scriptures, praying about the passage you just read. Having asked your four questions about the passage, maybe your prayers start by asking God to help you see the answers, to help you see the things or the ways that he sees things, praying for that wisdom, that insight, that understanding. For example, let's say you just read the first part of the letter of James, where he talks about joy in adversity. And boy, you know, isn't that relevant to our current situation in the world? You know, so your prayer might be, Lord, help me see my trials, not in a negative light, but as an opportunity for growth. You might have just read the book of Daniel, where he stands up in opposition so as not to compromise his belief. And your prayers might be, you know, Lord, help me to have the same sort of courage and conviction that Daniel did. And if you start by praying over the passage you just read, that's really focusing in on where God has your mind that day. You pray that scripture. If it's a promise, you cling to it in your prayers. If it's a challenge, you ask God to put a conviction in your heart, to come alongside you as you conform to it. Whatever it is, you ask God, whatever that comes from that passage, you know, teach me. And then learn to pray it back to God. The next, you might pray through your schedule. You say, Lord, I've got this thing coming up, or I'm going to meet with this person, or I've got this challenging assignment, I've got this deadline, I've got this appointment. Think through your day, the temptations, the opportunities, the decisions that you have to make, and ask God to go before you, to encourage you when encouragement's needed, to challenge you when challenge is needed. And then pray for your relationships. You move away from you to pray for other people. You could pray for your spouse, your kids, your family, your friends, for those who have a need at that moment. And you can broaden then to pray for a sphere of people sort of outside your close family and friends. You could pray for the country and for the world, especially at a time like this where we have a huge global challenge. So you begin where God is dealing with you and then move out to those close to you and then to the wider spheres. This is really only one outline for prayer. There are many, many others. But the key thing is that you have a map for your prayers. If you're anything like me, you know, without a map, I can get totally lost. I use the map function on my phone to help me get to where I need to go. And the same is true with our prayers. If we don't have a map or a plan, we can end up meandering. You know, while we're praying for something, suddenly Aunt Joan's sciatica comes to mind, and we switch and pray for that. And then that squirrel with a funny little tail comes to mind, and we pray for that. And before we know it, we're all over the place. But if we have a map, our prayers are much more structured, and our conversation much more ordered. And we can make real progress in our prayer life. So today, do you need to get a map for your prayers? Do you need to set a path for how to pray? So we divert. We find a time and a place. We read. We open God's word. We dialogue. We turn and listen to God in prayer. And finally, we write. We write down key things that God shows us. Another word for this is to journal. Now, we might not write something down every day, but sometimes something comes to mind and we write it down. Or God does something in our life and we write it down. Or we take that big step in faith and we write it down. And we end up with something like a spiritual diary, a record of God's activity in our life. And its value comes over time. You'll be able to look back and see the fingerprint of God in your life. You know, here are the things that God is doing. Here's a prayer he answered. Here's a lesson I learned. Here's a season or a trial that he brought me through. Here's how he matured or refined me. Here's an addiction or a habit he broke. Here's a reward he gave me for my faithfulness. It's a trace of our relationship with God through life. Psalm 77 puts it like this. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. It can be a great source of encouragement when you look back. You see how God has transformed you into the person that you are today, and how he's been faithful to you. And I know that when I get disheartened, battle-weary, or just flat in my relationship with God, I can reflect back on all that he's done and where he's taken me and from and to. And that comes as a huge source of encouragement. And this is God, not God's interaction with Moses or David or Joseph or Daniel or Paul or Peter. This is God's interaction with just Nicholas. And it's nobody's business but mine. And it's such a source of so much encouragement, a faith builder, a powerful tool. And it's not something that we add to every day. But when something big happens, when you get that particular revelation, when you take that particular step, take a moment just to note it down. If you don't, you'll forget it over time. And then when times are tough, you'll completely forget his faithfulness. But if you note it down, you'll remember. Not just what's in Scripture, but how specifically the Scriptures and the truth of God have come alive in your life. So today, do you need to start journaling? Just making a record of what God has done and is doing in your life. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London hangs a picture by the English Pre-Raphaelite artist, William Holman Hunt. It shows Jesus knocking at a door and is based on Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you look closely at this picture, there's no handle on the outside of the door. It can only be opened from the inside by us. God is knocking at the door and just longs for us to open it. And by entering into conversation with God, we open the door. And this, in the situation we all find ourselves right now, there's no better time to get into conversation with God. You know, we're all stuck at home. We can all make the most of that. We can get into rhythms of communication with God. Because God has gone to an extraordinary length to have a personal and intimate relationship with you. We all fall short of God's standards, but he sent Jesus to cover that, to die for that, and in so doing, bring us into right relationship with him. And God is longing for that relationship with us, our personal, private, intimate conversation time with God is the primary way we keep focus on our relationship with him. To help us keep focus on the gauges of our will, our mind, our temptations, our anxiety, of our relationships, our frustration, our resistance. And when we open the door to God by diverting daily, by reading his word, by praying, and by keeping a record of all he does, as we talk to God and listen to him, so our relationship with him deepens. Our path becomes clearer. And we see God move in powerful, unmistakable ways in our life. Let's pray together. God, I am in so much awe of the fact that you want to have a personal relationship with me. I pray for me and for everyone here. I want us all to have that relationship with you. And I pray that you would help us divert daily, prioritizing spending time with you. I pray that as we read your word, you would give us wisdom, insight, and understanding in all areas of our lives and the decisions that we make. As we pray, I ask that you would conform us to your will, that you would direct our paths. And as we write, I pray we would have a record of how you have transformed us to be more like you. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And just finally, I wanted to speak to you, those of you who have not given your life to Jesus yet. I said that God has made a way for us to communicate directly with him. He did this through sending his son, Jesus, to live among us and then to die at our hands for the wrongdoing that we've done. But then he rose again from the dead and in so doing makes right our relationship with God, giving us new life to those who put their faith and trust in him. Jesus broke the power of sin and death and opened up communication with God. And that's a gift that we can all receive. God loves us unconditionally. And God wants to be a part of our life. And he's knocking at the door. But it's on our part to invite him into our lives. And if you've not taken that step, I encourage you to do that today. I know what a difference it's made in my life. God has spoken into my life, guided me, and protected me. And I can look back and see how God has refined me and brought me to where I am today. And I'd love that to be the same for you. If you want to take that step of inviting Jesus into your life today, I encourage you just to say these simple words. God, I want to have a relationship with you, to be able to communicate with you. I want to be able to talk to you about my success, my fears, my concerns, and I want to hear from you to get guidance in my life. Today I want to take that step for the first time, to accept Jesus into my life. I ask you to come into my life and experience your love, your strength, and your guidance in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision today, we want to come alongside you, encourage you, and support you. So do let us know in the chat link using the link that will be there right now.